Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. And at this time, on Wednesdays, we talk to Chris Mason, Willie's partner in the booth on Fox Sports Tennessee, also former Predator goaltender. And every week he's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. See, Mace, what's up?
What's up? I'm still waiting for that that chauffeur that drives me around in the Chevrolet that you promised me a couple weeks ago.
What a cool gig, huh? if that were the case, that you could just sit in the back and...
I know, right?
You could tweet out videos of yourself. By the way, that was a good video. We had a good laugh at... the trade deadline.
Yeah. Oh, the one today is funny. I love Willie's passion on that one.
I gotta be honest, I haven't seen today.
Okay.
So
it's pretty good.
I'll have to go check it out.
Where did you find that, by the way? Where are you getting these?
I asked Jake Hartsfield, our pregame producer, because we did all those clips right at the beginning for that day or whatever, and then I just asked him to send me all the little things so I could use them for social media.
That's fantastic. Those are good.
Oh, they're great.
I have to check it out. So we learned yesterday with David Poile that you are not the emergency backup goaltender, and you had
the e-bug.
You had tweeted out the e-bugs. There are three, right?
Four
here in Nashville, and it's an interesting how that whole thing works. But just your thought as a former goalie to see that happen and take place Saturday night after a crazy game here, an 8-round shootout victory for the Preds, and watching Carolina beat Toronto at their place with an e-bug, a guy from Toronto. What did you think?
I thought it was cool. You know, it's such a great story, and David Ayers is everywhere now, and everyone's getting on board. I mean, there's nothing. What other sport, we're trying to talk about this, what other sport could you have, you know, someone like David Ayers, who is a Zamboni driver, it's like out of a movie, to get into a professional game. And we're just saying, like, would that ever happen in football if, you know, your first and second string quarterback came down? You got, you know, some guy.
Imagine what that would be like. That is really, I thought about that. I was like, if you threw me into left field, right, there's like, I had to play left field for the last five innings of a major league game. That would be a lot easier than playing goalie.
So,
right?
Yeah.
Now, if I had to pitch the last five innings, that's a whole other different story, right? I mean, it's amazing to think that.
With that being said, though, that's perfect for this question. I want to ask you, I saved this for you because you played the position. You respect the position. You know what it takes at that position. Is it a little bit insulting to you that some guy, 42-year-old Zamboni driver, could just waltz his way in the middle of a second period and win a game in the NHL?
Well, no, absolutely not. I mean, did you watch the game?
The
Carolina Hurricanes absolutely shut down
of
the
course.
Maple Leafs. You know,
they can only face, what, 10 shots, I think?
Yeah, you know, and it's awesome. You know, I love the story, but it's not, hey, if someone can do that, and they can come in and they can play awesome, and they do that, good for them. I'm not insulted one bit. I think it's an awesome story. I think you know, because this happened, and you know, it's happened a couple times over the last couple years, I think the GMs will probably talk about a different type of scenario where, you know, guys have to have certain qualifications, or every team has their own, or they carry a third guy, whatever the situation may be. But what, you know, all these big, huge playoff race games are going on, and what's everyone talking about? David Ayers gets in a game, wins the hockey game. You know, it's just fun. It breaks up the monotony. I love it. If some accountant comes in and he gets a shutout in an NHL game, he plays 58 minutes. Hey, I'm not insulted one bit. I'm all for it. I love it.
I think what bothers me sometimes is, you know the three of us, Chris, and we are huge, huge fans of hockey, the sport, the player, the whole thing. It's great. But what bothers me is the old guard of hockey. It just drives me crazy with something like Don Cherry last year with Carolina, right? Storm surge. And then now this, and them coming out and you know, blasting for having, you know, it's a joke. It's a mockery to the sport. It's like, can hockey not be fun? Can we not just have a little fun with hockey? It is 2020, and that's what drives me crazy, is when the old guard comes out screaming, get off my ice.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I love all the new stuff, and I think it's great. I think that's the way that, you know, you're going to attract new fans. But having said that, I respect guys' opinions that don't agree with it, that don't like it. They don't have to like it just because that's the way it's going, and that's, you know, the majority of us, the majority of the fans and the people in the game like that, and you like to see personality and teams having fun. But hey, if that's the way they feel, if they feel strong enough about it, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I personally, I know you guys do too, we love the, you know, the authenticity of the sport, but you also love the personality and the people that really, I think, attach you to the sport and they bring you more in, and you get closer when you know players on the team, and you know you get to see guys off the ice or off the field, that you just become more attached to your team. And I think it's just good for the sport when, you know, it's entertainment. Like, the guys are playing, they're leaving it out there all on the ice. Why can't they have fun after the game and do something for the fans? You know, everyone pays good money to follow a team. You buy tickets, you're buying merchandise, you spend a lot of time invested into your team. And I think, you know, everybody should get the bang for their buck. And at the bottom line, if you want your league to succeed, you need to keep finding ways to bring in new fans and keep the ones you have.
Willie, just show me that video you tweeted. That's freaking hilarious. That is freaking hilarious.
That day, it's called Gladiator Day. You basically just walk in front of the camera and act the fool for about 30 minutes and just see what comes out of it. And you come up with all these little vignettes. Some of the ones that Hal and Mace have, they're sliding across. I mean, it's nuts.
I got to find our handshake one, too. We got to plan a little better because we just kind of make them up when we get there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're fun.
All right, now that the dust has settled, what do you make David Poile a little bit different, right? We're usually talking about, you know, what do you think of Wayne Simmonds? What do you think of Mikael Granlund? What do you think of Brian Boyle? We're talking about guys, you know, additions in the room. No additions. One subtraction. Matt Irwin, great guy to deal with. Loved being around him over the years. But it's the, you know, this is the room they're moving forward with, and it's up to the players now to get them where they need to be for these final 20 games. What did you make of what the front office did or didn't do?
Well, honestly, it was exactly what I thought they would do. I mean, Skillsy, Willie and I had a text chain going talking about what do you think they're going to do, and I think we all kind of thought this would be the direction that they would go just because of the way the seasons went, where they are. You know, it seems like things are trending up, and this team is slowly moving in the right direction. Now, they're in a playoff spot now. They're in control of their own destiny. So I didn't think, unless they got a big haul, which would be, you know, a really high draft pick and a serviceable NHL player replacement for either Smith or Granlund, I didn't think they would move any of those guys. Just because you still have a good team. There's still 20 games left. It's starting to move in the right direction. So what kind of message does that send if you send one of those guys away and you don't get a player back that can play on your roster? It doesn't send a great message to me, in my opinion. So I think you just say, you know what, let's stick with what we got. I think it was almost, you know, as well, maybe doing Matt Irwin a favor as well and giving him an opportunity to go somewhere he might play a little more and be able to earn a contract, and you bring a bigger body and Holzer, somebody that, John Hines said can help on the penalty kill, a little bigger body in front of the net, those types of things. So I like it. I think it was the right way to approach the deadline.
Chris Mason is with us, and Mace, they've had a couple of wins that you would not call dominant wins, and especially when you consider the competition, you're still looking for that gear. But tell me what you think they're doing really well right now. They are 9-4-1. In the last 14 games, they're trending up, but I think we all feel like there's got to be something better there if they're going to ultimately get to where they want to go. But where is the foundation right now?
Well, I think you're seeing this team when they start to play, and everybody plays according to what the game plan is, and they manage the puck really well. I find, you know, they're becoming a harder team to play against. I thought they did a really good job. My two favorite games recently, in terms of this, are probably the two St. Louis games because of the opponent and because of the physicality and emotion involved in both of those games. They're quite different, actually. But I think that, you know, everybody, you know, nobody was trying to beat guys one-on-one. I thought a little bit last night to start the game, I thought guys were, you know, it's hard not to do this. You look at the roster, you're like, we're way better than these guys. Who are half these guys? You know, so you go and you think that you don't have to play the same way. And then once you realize that that's not going to work for you. You go back and you reset it and you start doing things the right way. And I think once they started doing that, they started having their way with the Sens last night. But I think they have an understanding of what John Hines wants. And when they do play that, they're very successful when all the guys play it. So I think their structures come around, their defense. And to me, I just feel like there's more confidence, the body language. And I think that, you know, when you hear the guys getting interviewed, even after bad games or they don't play well, I still think they're able to, you know, hold their head high. And just, you can just feel that they have a lot more confidence as a team. So I think, again, I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. I think the best is yet to come. They have a higher ceiling. I've been hoping for that for a long time, but I still do think that there's improvement, but I see it's gradually getting a lot better.
The vibe, I think, will be different tomorrow night, and I hope the fans come in there. I think there's going to be a lot of energy as the game starts tomorrow with the importance of the Flames coming in. There's been some pretty exciting games between these two teams, and all you got to do is look at the standings, right?
Oh, man, this to me... You know, you look at those Ottawa, Columbus, they're obviously it's a big game because of where you are in the standings, and, you know, you could say every game is the biggest game of the year, but this game is the biggest game of the year by far. And these guys, I love the games that Calgary and Nashville have. They're really spirited. You know, they have a little bit of revenge coming maybe from that game that the Flames came back and beat us at Bridgestone earlier in the season. So this is going to be a huge game, and this is one where you have to have that kind of playoff mindset, a little bit of those nerves and that fear before the game, because if you do come out and you play like you did against the Ottawa Senators in the first period, the game could be over in the first period against the Calgary Flames. I mean, they just beat the Boston Bruins. This is a team that, you know, they have what we want. They're 2 points ahead. They're one spot ahead in that first wild card spot. If Nashville beats them tomorrow, they take that over because I think they have the regulation win advantage. They'll be tied in points, but they get that spot. So it's huge.
Chris Mason is with us, Preds TV analyst alongside Willie D. Rocco Grimaldi rewarded for his hard work, 2-year contract extension. We talked to him on the day it was announced on trade deadline day, but a really cool story, somebody we all like to deal with, but a big part of this team now, and he is rewarded for it. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? There's nothing like a good underdog story, if you want to call it that. Somebody that's, you know, had a long path to get to where, you know, to realize a dream and to get to the NHL, and a player, you know, of his size, unfortunately, they have to go through more obstacles to get where they want to be, even though, you know, he's probably proved himself at numerous levels over and over and over again. But the fact that he got this opportunity in Nashville, and, you know, you never know in your life if you ever get another chance, you know, to get a second opportunity, and he got this chance and he took advantage of it. And the guy he flat out works. He's a heart and soul player. You know, he's an inspirational type of person and player, I think. You know, when he's on the ice, much like Victor Arvidsson, the Arvy hustle, he just never stops working. He goes after, you know, Zdeno Chara or anybody else in the league. He doesn't back down from anything. So I just really, it's nice to see people that deserve to be rewarded get rewarded. So I was really happy for him, and that's a good signing for the team, no question.
Chris, I can remember early in Pecorine's career that he had to play a lot of games together. When he played more, he was better. It was just that getting in that consistent rhythm. Now that he's older and the role is somewhat changing, UC Saros is playing more, I feel like he has been able to adapt, and you can see that he can take a few games off and still be just as effective. He's had some gems as of late, but if you need him, you know, of course, for a playoff run, he's going to be good to go. How difficult is it to adapt as a goaltender to the changing roles?
That's a good question, because it's a major adjustment. You know, when you get to play every game, it's a different mindset, because you know that, you know, obviously you got to go and perform, but if you know let in a bad goal, or you have a rough night, or, you know, things don't go your way, you know you're going to get back out there the next game. So you don't have to, you know, cry over spilt milk, or you don't have to, it doesn't have to sit with you for too long before you get back on the horse again. But when you're, you know, when you're in a role where you're taking less games, there's more time in between games, there's more time to think, there's more you know, analysis and the preparation. You know, if you feel good in that game, you don't play for, let's say, another week, you kind of have to recapture that feeling, find, you know, it's a lot more work. I think when you're playing all the time, you just go with the flow and you're, you know, you get in a rhythm. It's a lot harder to get in a rhythm when you don't play all the time. So it takes time to, you know, find out how to do that and what you need to do and how to prepare on the game. How do you prepare during the practice week? Do you take different kind of drills? Do you watch video? You know, so everyone's got their own routine and way of doing that, but it's definitely something that, you know, individually you have to figure out.
Big tilt tomorrow night. Calgary in town.
Calgary.
Yes, sir. Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Tell the driver for being a good driver. You didn't scream or nothing. It was a good interview. Thanks.
He was awesome. Yeah, he was great.
Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. What a cool gig right there. And we appreciate him joining us. Jay Bomeister, if I can spit it out, has spoken to the media. We will tell you on, he has addressed his future for the rest of this season with the Blues. We'll tell you what he said. On the other side, right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. That's a lot of homeowners. And right now, with all the rain we've been getting, maybe you've noticed bowing basement walls. If you have a basement, standing water in a crawl space, or musty odors, or rot in floor joists, that's bad. Condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors, all these are bad. And that means you need to pick up the phone and get the experts out to your house, because you're wondering, why are things wet at my house? Well, maybe you have poor drainage. Water does seep through walls. Maybe you have underground pressure that's forcing water into your basement, if you have that. Look, the bottom line is the experts will come out and they will give you a true assessment of what's going on. And maybe it's something you don't have to worry about, but if you do, they can tackle that for you. They can give you a free estimate. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured. They believe in their quality of work, their reputation, and their integrity there at USS. So if you need to get them out to your house, call 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or go to their website, usstn.com. As they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.